Emily Falico will come and share our scripture reading.
Today is from Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat and the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
So, this week when I saw this was the reading, I remembered that exactly 6 years ago, this date was my last Sunday at Lake Avenue Baptist Church, and Michael Ford, the pastor, preached on this text to me, challenging me to get out of the boat and come be your pastor. It was a good message. I will not claim, I hope none of you will claim, that I've tried to walk on water. However, it was a neat connection to make, to remember and to think about then coming here, moving on the 17th. And actually, I remembered that we showed up on that Sunday, although I wasn't starting till September, because we didn't know anybody else in town and we wanted to see somebody and be in worship. And it was great. So good memories of 6 years ago. Last Sunday, after our text was about the feeding of the 5,000, Tony came up to me afterward and said, "Debbie Allen and I were just having a conversation about maybe we should do some adult ed Bible study around whether you read it, how you read scripture metaphorically and not literally." I'm not going to go into all that, but I think this is a text that invites metaphorical thinking. And rather than get trapped in our 21st century worries about how did this happen or did this happen or what was, you know, all those kind of things can end up just bogging us down and not helping us simply hear the story for the truth that's in it. I love a quote I think Marcus Borgen and others have used, maybe Richard Rohr, about the wise old man who said, was asked if some Native American story was true, and he said, "Well, I don't know if and how it happened, but I know that it's true." That applies to a lot of scripture, I think. We don't know if and exactly how it all happened, but the truth is here. And so I'm struck by this story about Jesus and his disciples, and then the disciples out on the boat. I was reminded that the early church often used the image of a boat or a ship for the church. In fact, there's a lot of early artwork that shows the church as a ship. So we have the disciples. This is one of the only miracles that happens just for them. There's no other crowd. This happened just between Jesus and the disciples. He sent them on to go back across the sea. He takes time alone to pray after the crowd has finally gone away. Again, one of those opportunities, those glimpses of how Jesus would take time by himself to pray. And they're rowing across the sea, and apparently the Sea of Galilee is actually infamous for sudden intense storms. I don't know about you, but I was in one of those yesterday. I was trying to leave Robert Packard Hospital and drive home to get things Bill needed, and it was intense for a few minutes there. I do not like the feeling of walking across the parking lot and seeing the lightning and having the loud bolt of thunder happen immediately, because my Memories of science tell me that that means it's right here on top of me right now. So anyway, we know something about intense storms. We can imagine being in a small boat out on Cayuga Lake in an intense storm and thinking we wouldn't want to be there. So this was not uncommon. Some of these men were fishermen. They were used to dealing with that, but they were scared. It had gotten bad. They were not making any headway getting where they were trying to getting to land against the wind. And then the story says Jesus comes to them, appears to them, and they think it's a ghost. They're freaking out. So they were already scared, and now they're petrified. And then he says, "It is I. Take heart. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And then Peter always, right? Peter always takes it the next step. He said, "Okay, if it's you, tell me to come to you. I'm going to try it too." And Peter said, Jesus says, "Come." So Peter steps out of the boat. One thing I read from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, from his Cost of Discipleship, said Peter had to leave the ship and risk his life on the sea in order to learn both his own weakness and the power of his Lord. If Peter hadn't taken the risk, he would have never learned the meaning of his faith. The road to faith passes through obedience to Jesus' call. And unless a definite step is demanded, and the call vanishes into thin air. Faith can't just be this amorphous, "Oh yeah, that's a good idea." It requires us to take steps, actions of faith, he's saying. And if people imagine they can follow Jesus without taking this step, they are deluding themselves. So Bonhoeffer's saying, faith is only real where there is obedience. Faith only becomes faith in the act of obedience. Interesting. But Peter gets scared, doesn't he? How many of us, somewhere in your experience, somewhere, have you had the challenge of being, walking on a log, walking on something that required doing some kind of obstacle course or whatever, something that was like, if I look down, I'm going to get freaked. And the person's telling, you're being advised, look straight, look at your goal. Because if you look down, you're going to freak out and you are going to fall. I think that connects to this story, right? He's looking at Jesus saying, "Hey, I want to come to you. I want to do it too." And then he steps out and then he realizes, "Oh, what have I done? I am in the middle of this waves and I'm on top of, right?" And he starts to sink. And Jesus grabs him. How many times do we step out thinking we're stepping out on faith, but perhaps we're really stepping out more on our own will and determination? Or at least we're intending it to be on faith, but we get busy trying to do it actually all ourselves. The life of faith is about following the promptings of the Spirit, obeying God's call, and trusting that God will stay with us, that it's not all up to us. And I love one commentary said, that unlike Mark's gospel, which keeps making the point that the disciples never get it, Matthew's gospel's a little kinder because Jesus' response is more gentle. It's, "Oh, you of little faith." But he grabs his hand and he brings him into the boat, and then the storm calms. As people of faith, we live as a community. In the metaphor, we live in the storm. Life brings chaos. Sometimes it's calm and beautiful, but a lot of times it's not. The storms certainly come, and they sometimes come when we least expect them. And the call of faith is to not lose our goal. Keep our eyes on God, on Jesus. However you most understand and find God's presence revealed to you, keep your eyes on that. Don't get so focused on the chaos and the storm, because that will take you down. When he got in the boat, they moved from their fear to praise. They moved from doubt to faith, and they worshiped him. They recognized who he was in a new way because of what he did in their lives. And the biggest thing he did was not calming the storm. That's useful. That was helpful. But you know what? The biggest thing he did was he showed up. At least that's how I experience it. I remember my beloved systematic theology professor, whose wife was struggling with the recurrence of breast cancer. One of the most powerful sermons I ever heard in my life was when Frank Tupper later preached about that whole experience of Betty's illness and dying. And he talked about a recurring dream he had of storm and chaos all during Betty's illness. And he said, "Jesus didn't calm my storm, but Jesus didn't leave me alone." That also is the life of faith, isn't it? Keeping our eyes on that connection that can carry us through every storm, carry us through all that makes us afraid, stay with us, guide us through chaos and uncertainty. Those of us who have participated, we've been taking a little break, but have been part of Saturday evening prayer for the last few years, we sometimes use this blessing from Yogananda, who was a Hindu guru who came to admire Jesus and study his teachings very much. Yogananda's blessing: "Do not be afraid of anything, even when tossing on a wave in a storm. You are still on the bosom of the ocean. Always hold on to the consciousness of God's underlying presence. Be of even mind and say, 'I am fearless. I am made of the substance of God. I am a spark of fire of the Spirit. I am an atom of the cosmic flame. I am a cell in the vast universal body of the Creator. I and my God are one.'" And let's hear this song, "Oceans Where Feet May Fail."
You are mine. soul will rest in.